If you have your Bible, I'm going to encourage you to turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to be reading this morning verses 16 through to 20, what we call the Great Commission. And it's not only bringing our Easter series to a close. We've been looking over the Easter weekend at the whole message of dare to be hopeful. And this morning we're thinking about hope is spreading. But also it brings a little series on Matthew's Gospel to a close as well. And next week, Stan will be opening up John's Gospel for us, continuing the series that I had started a good while back. But this morning, Matthew chapter 28 and at verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Amen. And we pray that God would speak to us as we look at his word. You know, over the Easter weekend and through this little mini-series celebrating Easter, we've been thinking about the great note of hope, which is ours, who have a living faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. When you notice very carefully what I said, if we have a living faith, that is, all our trust is in Jesus Christ as Lord. Do you know, forgiveness is the wonderful gift of God towards all who by repentance and faith put their trust in him. Forgiveness is an absolutely wonderful and precious gift. You cannot buy it. You cannot earn it. You do not deserve it. I cannot buy it. I cannot earn it. I certainly do not deserve it. But by the grace of God in Christ, God extends to me forgiveness for all of my sin. Sin that would eternally bar me from his presence. Sin that would keep me out of his heaven is forgiven completely, utterly. It is dealt with, and it is dealt with by Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. Forgiveness is entirely free. But I want you to know that although it is entirely free, forgiveness is incredibly costly. We cannot buy it. We cannot earn it. But the cost of our forgiveness is the cost of God in Christ coming to earth. God in Christ dying a sacrificial death on Calvary's cross that you and I might be forgiven. And I don't know about you, but I have celebrated many, many, many Easters as a follower of Jesus. And I still get to the end of Easter and think, I've not really got it completely. I don't fully appreciate the cost. Forgiveness is entirely free, but it is incredibly costly for God in Christ to reach out to us and to draw us to himself. You know, this is our second Easter in lockdown. And lockdown has taught us a great deal. I'm going to try and contain my emotions because this morning I was getting very animated about this. But lockdown has taught us a great deal. I don't know about you, but I've had a year and a half of cancelled engagements. People that were supposed to get married didn't get married because of lockdown. Now, for those of you who are married, just think about the level of disappointment. Think about the level of disappointment, when everything you've been working towards and planning and preparing for, and that great day, gone. Lockdown puts an end to it. Cancelled engagement. I had a number of holidays planned. And if truth be told, I only really rest if I go away somewhere. There have been cancelled engagements because of lockdown. I had all manner of speaking engagements. Some of them happened online. But I tell you, if you're a preacher and a communicator of God's word, there is nothing to beat the whites of the eyes of the people and the Spirit of God present on his preacher, on his people as they gather together. You can't get that online. The Spirit of God moves in a very powerful way when, you know, we gather together on people and on preacher. Now, it's not that those who are having to watch online, I hope no one's watching online because they've got no choice. You know, you can sign up and try and get yourself in. But at the end of the day, you know, cancelled engagements, have been the story of lockdown. I want to tell you something. Lockdown teaches us, with all of these cancelled engagements, that we are not in control. And see, when you're a sinful, proud human, you actually hate that. Because sinful, proud humanity loves to think that he's in control. The interesting thing is, even those of us who've repented of our sins and put our trust in Christ very quickly forget that and still like to be in control. But lockdown has taught all of us we are not in control. We have no control over where everything is going. But the good news about all of it is there is a sovereign God who is in control, who has never been out of control, who is in charge of all the days and seasons and weeks and months and years. And lockdown teaches us that we're not in control. I owe these little thoughts about lockdown to a friend, Tom Heisman, who ministers down in London. But lockdown has taught us something else. I hope that you have missed people. I hope you've never grown content with just that little bubble. Not that you should be discontent with your family and close friends. That's not what I mean. But in actual fact, lockdown has taught us that we are a relational people. That we're made for relationship. And in actual fact, one of the hardest things that I've had to watch through the 18 months or so of where we've been is those who are entirely on their own. And the impact of that, and the way in which that isolation and that inability to receive the simple touch of another human or a conversation or the company of someone else in person has had an impact upon them. Lockdown has taught us that we are a relational people. And we are a relational people because God has made us for relationship. Relationship with himself and with one another. And lockdown has reminded us of that. And of course, in the midst of this particular lockdown, man has had to face his own mortality. Now, it's not that man hasn't had to face his own mortality before COVID. In actual fact, we never did publish the figures of those who died every year from cancer and from natural causes, and from all manner of other viruses, infections. But suddenly, day by day, we were hit with COVID figures. COVID figures that, in actual fact, if truth be told, were often the finishing off of a person who had other problems as well, and some that, in actual fact, were pure COVID. But it's reminded us that we are fragile. And I'm very thankful for a vaccination program. I don't see conspiracy theories. I'm thankful to God that at least we find a vaccination that allows us perhaps to get back on our feet. But there is no vaccination against death. And sometimes you would have thought the mantra was, in science we trust. But for the people of God, it is in God we trust. We're thankful for all that science can produce. But it is God we trust. And the only answer to death is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only answer. And everyone who gets vaccinated will still die. That's something I can guarantee. And when we die, it'll be what we have done with Jesus that will matter. But lockdown has served very well to remind us that we are a people who are not in control. We are a people who are made for relationship. And we are a people who are fragile and will die. But there is one, and he is the one in whom all our hope is, that we need to turn to, that we need to trust, that we need to be entirely dependent upon. And he is our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the resurrected Christ who stands before the disciples at that appointed place, and he speaks to them. But you know, one of the joys of Matthew chapter 28, as the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them, was what they did first. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. You see, I want to say, my friends, that before we even think about sharing the hope which is ours, the only way we can share that hope is if we are a worshipping people. Witness is the overflow of worship. If you love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, if he is everything to you, if he is the one person that's first in your thoughts when you're waking up in the morning and last in your thoughts as you go to sleep at night, you can be pretty well sure that he is the one you worship. Because I've discovered that what we think about most is that which we worship most. And that can come as a little challenge to some of us, because we suddenly start thinking, I think about an awful lot of people and an awful lot of stuff before God. And the reality is that what we worship most, we will talk about. You see, when we love God with all our heart, so I want to just say a little thing about being in love. I've known a bit of this, you know, right? The one thing about being in love is this, that you will talk about the one you're in love with. You will. And witness is the overflow of worship. If you're in love with God, you'll talk about him. If you're in love with Jesus, you'll speak about him. If you're absolutely amazed at what he's done for you, it'll come out. It'll come out in what you say. It'll come out in how you live. It'll come out in who you are. And they worshipped him, but some doubted. Do we love him? And the interesting thing is that when we fall in love with who God is, and when all that we are is surrendered to all that he is, one of the things that happens is we start to get on his agenda. And he is driven with an absolute love for lost folks. Do you know, one of the great things about the Christian faith, one of the things that marks it out as so very different from all other faiths, is this, that our God is a God who relates to us. For he is a God of relationship, and he made us for relationship, and he is a God who is relational and calls us into a living relationship with himself. And when David was talking about the hymn that means so much to him, it was a hymn where, in a sense, he's using the words of the hymn writer just to express the wonder of what it is to be in a living relationship with God. Are you in a living relationship with God? Is all your trust in Jesus Christ? You see, when you're in a living relationship with God, the overflow of that worship of who he is witness to others about the fact there is a God who wants us to relate to him. There is a God that we can know. There is a God that has made himself known in love. And he's made himself known in love that we might relate to him. And the pinnacle of that love was when Jesus died on Calvary's cross. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And he calls us to repent and to put all our trust in him, to make him our Savior, our Lord. And the disciples worshipped him. Some doubted. It's always the case amongst the gathering of people in churches like this. Many will worship with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, while others will doubt. And witness is the overflow of the worshipping heart, of the worshipping life. But Jesus comes and he says to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore. Now, before we get to the go and allow the hope to spread, and I loved you turning that little illustration of COVID around and using it for the gospel, because that's what this world needs. You know, we talked about the COVID, pandemic being unprecedented. It was only unprecedented in our lifetime. There have been plagues time and time again in the history of the world. And in the midst of those plagues, the Church of Jesus Christ, because the people believed in eternity, were the folks who were walking in many times to certain death in order to minister to people who were dying and to give them the good news of the hope that is ours in Christ. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. You know, my friends, when we marvel, and we do it very well here at this church, when we marvel at the grace of God at Christmas time, God incarnate, the babe in Bethlehem's manger, the babe doesn't sit up in the crib and say, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. That was God incarnate, recognizing with our weaknesses, drawn alongside sinless but in amongst fallen humanity. When Jesus Christ goes to Calvary's cross and pays the price for our sin and rebellion and rejection of God, he doesn't say, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. He says, it is finished. Sins can be forgiven, death will be vanquished. At that point, he's dying on Calvary's cross. But when Jesus Christ rises from the dead, the resurrected Lord, death is vanquished. Death has been defeated. As part of our celebrations, we were saying it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's the resurrected Lord Jesus who says, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Death is defeated. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. All authority. It is the resurrected Jesus who speaks into our hearts today and says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age. And the text of this, if you're a disciple of Jesus, go. And as you go, be a disciple that makes other disciples. You know, I want you to know something. The Church of Jesus Christ should always be growing. And I'll tell you why it should always be growing. Because all of you should be so infectious for Jesus. And I should be so infectious for Jesus. That in actual fact, as we go, let me tell you something, you know, we need to change this idea. Sometimes people think about evangelism, they think, oh no, I've got to try and tell people the whole gospel. That's not what God is calling you to. God is sovereign. God is doing his work of drawing people to himself, but he's doing that through you and me. And it's not that somehow or other we need to take a person from A and get them all the way to Z. God uses us in different ways to speak a word of testimony, to sit down and read the Bible with someone, to share our story of how we came to faith. Who knows, but as David shares, somebody this morning is not sitting there going, for God so loved me that he gave his only son, that if I believe in him, that I will not perish but have eternal life. That's what God does. He works through his people. And God is working through us that we might be disciple-making disciples of others. And he's not saying that you're responsible for the whole of East Kilbride. He's actually just saying, I want you just to speak to someone else. Share with someone else. Spread what you know with someone else. Each one telling another. And the Church of Jesus Christ should always be growing by the power of 1 or 10 or 30 or 40 or however many it might be, as we each of us do what God is asking us to. And it's in the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ that he sends us. He says, go in the power that I will give you and be a disciple making disciple of others. Now, Rico Tice, in his little book, Honest Evangelism, said a little sentence that has stayed with me, and I must confess that every time I look at someone, I cannot stop myself from asking the question. So here's what he said. He said, every time you look at someone, whether a boy or a girl, whether a man or a woman, every time you look at someone, ask yourself the question, where will they be in 100 years' time? Where will they be? The reality is, even the very youngest is very unlikely to still be here. They'll have passed from this life into what awaits us. And my friend, when we've got a God who makes himself known, when we've got a God that calls us to a relationship with himself, God always calls us to an eternal relationship with himself. And you know, the reality is, there is an unseen reality of heaven and hell. Where will they be in 100 years' time? In either the unseen reality of heaven or of hell. And we say that with tears in our eyes and motivated only by love. Because that's the God that we worship, a God who in love speaks honestly to us about these things and asks us, calls us, draws us to himself. You know, the biblical vision is that all things are going to be brought under the lordship of Christ. But the call of God in Christ is for us to surrender to his lordship now. Because we're not in control. And we need to be under his sovereign control. And we need to be about his agenda. And we need to be walking in his ways. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here on earth, he healed a great many people. But have you noticed that there was something far more important to Jesus than healing? It was to die on Calvary's cross that he might rescue people from hell. That was far more important. And some people would have liked Jesus just to have stayed here and just keep healing us of our infirmities. But there was something far greater that he had to do. And that was to rescue us for all eternity. When we talk about the church being a lifeboat, the lifeboat doesn't set out thinking, let's just try and save some. It sets out longing that we might see the salvation of all. And we know that a sovereign God is working out his plan and purpose, but it is that sovereign God who in resurrection power says to you and I, go. Go and be an everyday disciple making disciple of someone else. Share what you know. One of the joys of what I'm doing in ministry at the present moment in time is to encourage people to open up the Word of God and to show people Jesus from the Scriptures. Reading the Bible one-to-one with a person. And one of the great things about that is I'm not asking people to become Bible teachers. God calls people to be Bible teachers, but what we're doing when we talk about Word one-to-one is encouraging people to be Bible sharers. And all of us can share who God is in Christ. All of us. In actual fact, the Church of Jesus Christ grows most when the people of God get this and their witness is the overflow of their worship and they go and they share who they have discovered with others. And if you're sitting there thinking, John, I'd love to look at the Word of God, then you speak to me and I'll make that happen. We'll make a time where we can do that. You know, some people have said to me recently, they've said, you know, John, most people begin to slow down as they get older. It seems to me that you've just got busier. You know, you've kind of stopped doing what you're doing here at Calderwood and now you're doing what God's called you to do all over the UK and Ireland and sometimes overseas. Well, Andrew Heard, who ministered very faithfully to us just over a year ago, said this. It is easy with old age to settle down into satisfactory underperformance. It is easy with old age to settle down into satisfactory underperformance. You know, one of the strange things is that in stepping down from what I'm doing, I'm actually been released more to spend time with folks that don't know Jesus. I'm not saying you have to do that, because in actual fact, all of us should be spending time with folks who don't know Jesus, sharing with them the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, being as God called us to be, disciple making disciples of others. Let me tell you, the Church of Jesus Christ doesn't grow anymore through the appointment of paid pastors and paid staff. It grows through individual members sharing their faith. And Thomas and Mandy and Carl and Karen and every paid staff that we have would be the first to say that. It's not that they're called to train and equip and mobilize, but all of us are called to be disciple-making disciples, to share our faith with others. And David was honest with us that that's not easy. And let me tell you, David, it won't get any easier. In fact, Jesus never said that when you go, this will get easy. In actual fact, if you read what Jesus said, he said, you'll find that you're taking up your cross and following me. You'll find that you're like a sheep amongst a pack of wolves at times, right? You know, so he's very honest with us. Not going to get easy. But you know, the truth is, doing the right thing is very rarely easy. God calls us to be those who would go and share. But let me say something. Our sharing the hope that we have happens at its best when we want to bring our friends to Jesus. That's when it happens at its best. It happens badly when we feel that we ought to bring our friends to Jesus. See, when we think we ought to do something for Jesus and we ought to bring our friends to Jesus, we're not motivated by love. You know, it's not the overflow of our worship of who God is. It's not that all-consuming love for the Saviour that we want to convey to someone else. It's just guilt. Guilt doesn't really do much other than make you feel bad and do things badly. But when we want to see our friends come to know Jesus Christ, you'll find that you do this so much better. When you want to see them come to know Jesus. You know, one of my favourite titles at the present moment in time in life is Papa. I'm Papa to 4 grandchildren. And I love that title. You know, I've never been bothered with titles in my life, but I really like that one. Papa. P-A-P-A. And in the ministry that God has called me to, I introduced the Papa principle. And the Papa principle is pray and ask and pray and act. Pray about those that you love who are lost. Pray and then ask them if you could just share your story with them. Pray and then ask them if they might want to come and read God's word with you one-to-one. Pray and then ask. Let me tell you something. The only thing they can say is either yes or no. It's not easy, but that's as blunt, as direct as it'll get. It'll be yes or no. You know, many, many years ago, in order to put food on the table and support ministry, I sold Encyclopedia Britannica. Young people are sitting there going, Encyclopedia, what was that? What was that? Some of you are old enough to remember books. You know. Encyclopedia Britannica. And you know, one of the things I'm so thankful to God for, part of my training was to love the word no. Right? Because a lot of people said no when you tried to sell them Encyclopedia Britannica. No, no, no. And one of the joys is that I learned very early not to be afraid of the word no. If that's the worst that somebody can say, pray and ask. But even if they say no, then the next thing still follows. Pray again. Continue in prayer, as David said. Continue in prayer. But if they say yes, then pray and ask. If they say yes, pray and then act. Do it. Share your faith with them. Start reading the Bible with them. If you want really helpful notes for that, I'll get them for you. I'll set you up with them so that you can read one-to-one with somebody. You can take them to Jesus. For that's where we all need to be, at the fear of Jesus, putting our trust in Jesus, believing in Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And my friend, if you need confidence that's not your own, but in actual fact it's the confidence that comes from God, it's there in what it says in the promise of Jesus. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And I could spend all morning and all afternoon and all evening in that one verse, talking about the importance of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and all of this. But he says, go, teach them to observe all that I've commanded you, and here's the promise, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. My friend, sometimes we want to hold on to that little promise, God is with us. But you notice the context in which this little verse comes. As you go, as you make disciples, I am with you. As you go, and in stilting, stumbling, awkward, halting ways, share your faith, I am with you. As you go, rightly lacking in any confidence other than a simple trust in Jesus, I am with you. As you go, and you feel the burden of it and the responsibility of it, and you're afraid that you might not get it all right, I am with you. I am with you. And God, you know, my greatest discovery was that I wasn't responsible A to Z. Sometimes in the grace of God, He uses me to take somebody from A to Z. But sometimes we've just to speak that word of testimony. Give that little word of scripture. Do you say to somebody? You know, in the midst of all this, when folks have said, oh, this past year and a half, how many of us, our opening line has been, it's been a very difficult year. I could never have got through it without Jesus. There's a way of speaking about Jesus. Not debating the absence of sanctified common sense and the kind of obedience or disobedience to the guidelines, but actually just saying, I would never have got through this being out of control without knowing the God who is in control. I would never have got through this absence of relationships that mean so much to me without the real relationship, the one that really matters. I would never have been able to cope with this scale of looking at our own mortality without the knowledge of the one who has conquered death. No, my friend, it's my conviction that where we have been is one of the greatest springboards for the Church of Jesus Christ to share their faith. It's a gift to us if we share our faith. If we share our faith. And He says, as you go, I am with you always to the end of the age. The one who is sovereign and in control, the one who knows the end from the beginning, the one before whom we will all stand, the one who is in control, the one who made us relational, the one who calls us to Himself, the one who draws us to Himself. He is the one who is with us. I need to stop because our children are back and we're going to sing to God's praise and glory. Well, Dorothy and the band are going to sing to God's praise and glory. You're probably going to mime, behind the mask. But at the end of the day, we long for the day when, as the people of God, we can worship Him with heart and soul and voice. But there's nothing to stop us witnessing. There's nothing to stop us speaking about Him. There's nothing to stop us sharing the hope which is ours and making Christ known. Gracious Father, we thank You for Your word. We pray, Lord God, that You would give us a boldness to speak of who You are to others. Father, help us to realize we don't do that in our strength. Our confidence is in who You are and in the gospel, the power of the gospel to save those who would believe. And so, Father, we pray that You would enable us to do that this day. In Jesus' name, amen.